Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, director of the center, and I'm here once again with my two co-hosts, Ellie Chase Andreessen and Priscilla Weigel. Hello.
Hello.
And Ellie introduced herself in our last podcast, and she's going to talk. We're going to particularly ask her some questions that are health related. And Priscilla, you, of course, do so much work here in child care provider and early educator homes and centers, particularly around kids with special needs and behavior challenges. And so you see many things firsthand that you share with the audience that bring great relevance to what we're talking about. So I think this will be a very interesting one today because we want to talk about something that can sometimes be a little controversial, but it doesn't really have to be. But we do want to talk about childhood immunizations today. And in our last podcast, we talked about the flu season and the flu vaccine. Which is less controversial, I think, than what we are seeing today in some of our programs. Well, in general, in the general population with children and childhood immunizations. So let's just get right into it. What we immunize kids for, why we immunize, and what's happening with families and the community that is a result of not seeing as many percentages immunized.
I think this will be very interesting, Ellie. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you. I will do my best. So there's a couple of reasons we immunize. First, we immunize our children so that our children don't get sick. But the second reason, and equally as important, is so that other children don't get sick. There are a number of children, for special health care reasons, can't get the immunizations that are appropriate to their age. And then there are children that are just simply too young to get specific immunizations. And so a lot of you have probably heard that we immunize to keep the herd safe and to keep them from getting sick. And that's a pretty good analogy, but I really like personally the one of the sinking boat. These diseases exist. We have not gotten rid of things like polio. It does still exist in the world. And so what you have is this boat that all of us are in, and this boat has a leak. And it will always have that leak, at least probably in our lifetime. There will always be a leak, some certain disease that can be immunized against. And so the process of immunizing is like bailing out that boat. And so as long as everybody is bailing out that boat and getting the immunizations, we're keeping the water level down, and we're keeping the boat from sinking. And so immunizations are like bailing out the boat.
Great analogy. I love the analogy of the sinking boat and the bailing out. So what happens when there are some children in the center that maybe aren't able to, what would be some of the reasons that they wouldn't be able to be immunized?
Certain allergies will make it so that you can't get a specific immunization. Children who are severely immunocompromised, depending on what type of immunization it is, may not be able to get something like the flu vaccine. For example, the nasal mist for the flu vaccine is technically considered a live virus, in which case a child who is severely immunocompromised probably wouldn't be getting that type of vaccine. So it varies, and there's really quite a few reasons certain children just aren't applicable, but the main one is age. And what happens when we have a child who isn't immunized but could have been, gets sick, comes to child care, where, let's see, if it's a mixed age group, there may be an infant. That infant can get sick with something that the child, who's maybe 5 or 8, was doing fine with.
Right.
But the infant gets really sick, or the child who's immunocompromised, I mean, that can just be a real slippery slope into hospitalization. It can be very serious for a child.
Right.
Well, then we had an example of that here where a child care provider called us, but she for another reason, but she had a six-month-old infant of her own in her child care who got whooping cough from another child who was part of the child care program who hadn't been immunized. So that child brought the whooping cough to the infant because she hadn't yet been immunized. So, yeah, I mean, it does endanger other children when we make decisions about our own child.
Absolutely. So there's risks involved with your own child when the choice is made not to immunize, as well as really every child that person is going to come into contact with. And I think that leads us into an important point. I brought up polio as an example because it's just not something that we see in the U.S. very often. In fact, for a while, we had thought we had completely removed it from the U.S. population. But we live in a global world and a global economy. And so to assume that a child won't ever come into contact with somebody else who has been around polio is a little risky at this point and really, frankly, highly unlikely.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind, too, that these diseases may seem to have been gone. I personally, with my generation, have not known anybody to have polio, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people in developing nations that are still getting it and where it's still an issue that may end up in the U.S.
or
products may end up in the U.S. So
that's a really good point. Because it is easy to forget, to believe that, oh, our kids would never get that.
And mumps is another one that we're actually seeing an increase of. In Minnesota, too, I think I had heard a statistic that there had been, this was in December, maybe 16 or 17 cases of mumps in the Twin Cities, which was sort of unheard of because that would be the MMR vaccine, which
right.
we have.
Right. Interesting. So now, I just lost my train of thought, but it will come back. One moment, please. Maybe Cindy could ask a question while I'm thinking.
Well, I was wondering, as we're talking about, you know, immunizations and you know, in general, some of the reasons why maybe people don't get children immunized. I know it can be...
Sure.
And there are probably people listening who may have their own reasons, and I don't want to tread on anyone's feelings. And there are probably guidelines in every state that are a little bit different for licensing in terms of what children need to bring into documentation, into a program, as well as into school districts. I'm sure there are government guidelines as well. But, you know, there are sometimes reasons, which a little bit you've touched on.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few misconceptions that are out there that can lead to a family making that decision. But I think before we get to that point, I'd like to discuss that there are cultural and religious reasons that children don't get immunized. And so in part of protecting those individuals as well, others should be getting immunizations, right? Because there are reasons that families will choose not to immunize, and those are personal reasons, and we need to be respectful of those. But what I'd like to get at is getting rid of the misconceptions around immunizations, because that's not really a very good reason to choose not to immunize. So, like we talked about with people just forgetting that polio is an issue, or that mumps, for example, is something that really does happen, because my generation, which is starting to have children now, has never seen a kid with mumps. We just didn't have kids who came to school with the swollen neck. And I mean, it just didn't happen because we had primarily been immunized for it. So that's one of the issues. There's a misconception around now that we have better hygiene and sanitation, we don't need immunizations. And that's not necessarily true. In our previous podcast, we talked about how difficult it is, even when you're being really attentive, to keep places clean enough to keep kids from getting sick. So that's just not necessarily the case either. There's some misconceptions about the safety of immunizations. Side effects happen, but they are rare. So that's a misconception out there as well. Also, the idea that giving a child multiple vaccinations for different diseases at the same time increases the risk of harmful side effects, it can overload the immune system. Also, a misconception, that's not an issue. Like with anything, there are possibilities for side effects, but again, it's extremely rare. Okay, so those are most of the main misconceptions about vaccinations.
Yep. Those are very good.
It's, right, really helpful.
Yep, the way you've explained them has been very helpful. Well, I think that's been very useful to people who are listening to sort of understand better the reasons behind the immunizations and really the importance of stressing to the parents that they're working with and why they need to have children immunized to be part of the community of child care and early childhood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As a provider or a healthcare provider, I think that it's a conversation that's important to have with parents. It's their decision, but as a future nurse, I would like to make sure I understand the reasons for their decision. And are they making a decision based off of misinformation? Are they making it for religious or cultural beliefs? Mm-hmm. Or is there some education that needs to be done to really maintain the safety of not only their child, but the children that their child will come into contact with?
Well, and I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think that that conversation, even if that's as far as you take it with the families that are in your care, just to get that conversation started and going and not to just make the assumption that everyone's immunized or has all the information and all the facts, but also being able to direct them to some resources, which you did in our last podcast too as well, and I don't know if you have others to add, but that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'll do it again. So like Cindy had talked about, states are different on what they require for licenses, for the license as well as what they require for entering school, but the Centers for Disease Control, which is the government website, www.cdc.gov, has their general immunization schedules for children, as well as a lot of information about those misconceptions, as well as information about the herd. And there's things that providers can print off and give to parents as resources. So that's important, too.
That is great. Wonderful, wonderful resources. Thank you, Ellie.
Yep, thank you so much. And thank you both for being here. And we will we'll be talking again soon.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
That's all for now. See you next time.